Maybe you should go and do some contemplating.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Rose Buddies.
Hop back in the saddle with us. It's a three-person saddle. And so only the first person that listens to this episode of Rose Buddies is... Congratulations, if you're listening to this, you're the only listener to this episode of Rose Buddies.
You're also in the saddle.
You're in the saddle. Welcome to the saddle. It's a new Rose Buddies spinoff series exclusively about Hey Dude, and you're the only listener.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, I would do that. I would do that in a heart... beat.
I was joking about the technology that would be required to ensure that only the first person who listened to this episode would be the only person that listened, but I think if we do an all Hey Dude episode, we might be narrow casting just to the one. No.
I don't think so. I think it was a phenomenon.
Oh.
I've talked to many people about Hey Dude.
We can scrap. Listen, this is going to be a weird episode anyway. We could fucking slap Hey Dude on there if you wanted to. I'll let you do a Hey Dude segment if you let me do a Salute Your Shorts segment. How's that sound?
Okay.
That sounds fair. This is a Bachelorette podcast.
It's a little wild and a little strange. Make your home out on the range.
I could do the whole fucking thing, baby. Are you kidding me? So grab your horse and ride along. Because you can't hit your ride if you don't get down.
No, baby.
Singing, come on, ride my horse.
Oh my God, Griffin.
Oh, Rachel's looking at me with fury. So, this is a Bachelorette podcast. And I know you're thinking, hey, there was one of those a couple days ago that was a weird one because all the boys talked for a while to dad. But we don't want to talk about that one because it's always so bad.
I think Griffin and I have covered these before, and it's just a lot of recapping.
It's pretty much entirely a recap, and it's like an easy, like, episode for them.
And now with social media, like, I guess there's always been social media, but I feel like I know where every contestant stands.
Sure.
Prior to going into these episodes,
I guess, like, any kind of big things that happened. Like, the biggest thing was there were two whole segments dedicated to Lee and a lot of the guys, and Chris Harrison and Rachel when she came on later, were very openly critical of Lee's shitty tweets. Which was good, right? That was very good. And Lee did the usual sort of like snaky shit that dudes and I guess women contestants do on the show when they do something wrong, where they like say, like, you know, I'm so glad I have friends back at home who accept me for who I am,
yeah, and
help me grow.
I'm sorry if I made you feel that way.
A lot of I'm sorry ifs. And then it tried to do this like moment of redemption for him at the end where like I don't know. It was the whole episode was just very like, it was a lot of like dudes like fucking Waboomble, like trying to get one more fucking like, can I just get right in there real quick? Like trying to like pick fights with Dean, and it's like, get the fuck off. What the fuck are we watching? Why are we doing this? So
not a lot to say. Not a lot funny about it.
No,
except for those bloopers.
The bloopers are pretty good. And you know what, fuck this, the bloopers weren't good this year.
Oh, what about when Dean stuck gum behind his ear? That was fun.
It was fine, whatever. It just wasn't very long, and there weren't that many. I'm sorry, I didn't love the bloopers this year, gang.
What about when Rachel was eating chips and she said these are salty, like Josiah is right now
after his exit
on his way home? That was good too.
So this is a podcast about a television show series where we talk about one television show. Unless that one television show is not on, then we talk about a lot of different television shows.
Hey guys, if you listen to us because we talk about The Bachelor or Bachelorette, you just stop right now.
Yeah.
That's it for the episode.
That's it. we were talking about what we wanted to do this week, and we realized like we have talked about some shows that we love, like Terrace House. By the way, get up on that Boys X Girls in the City feed that is slowly drip feeding out. Thank you, folks at Costco Subs, for your hard work and everything you do. You're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, check our Facebook group if you don't know what we're talking about.
It feels illicit to like talk about it. So we talk about these shows that we really, really like, but we realized in like talking about this episode of Rose Buddies that they're are shows that we spend a vast majority of our television watching time watching that we have never even come close to addressing on this show. And I think this is the episode to do it.
Yeah, we're working without a net here, guys, because I don't have notes on these episodes.
We are talking about shows that we've watched with our baby that are designed mostly for babies. And before we get into it, I do want to hop in here and say we're going to be talking about a lot of shows, and I don't want anybody to get the impression that we just fucking like plop Henry down in a chair in front of the TV and leave him there, although it will certainly sound like that by the number of shows that we have consumed. I literally just went back through our Hulu history and watched, like, looked at what we've watched in the last 8 months.
It's background noise most of the time.
The reason I wanted to talk about it is because I did, before I had a child, and frankly, for a while after I had a child, I didn't realize that there are strata of what, like, kids' programming is. And I think it's an interesting thing to talk about because, like, before we had Henry, I was like, oh, it's going to be sick. I've never gotten too deep into Steven Universe or Adventure Time. Those are kids shows. We'll crack into those. And it's like, yeah, those are great. And there's a lot of like really, really great sort of young adult or kids like TV. That ain't for babies, though.
No.
What babies like are two things. Colorful shapes and colorful shapes in motion. And those are pretty
much.
And music. And so there's this weird like ecosystem of kids TV shows that we're gonna crack into on this episode.
A lot of what we're gonna talk about on this episode, though, like if you go by Hulu, so Hulu conveniently lets you sort, and there's television programming for babies, which is basically what Griffin described, just moving shapes and music, and then there's ages 2 to 4, which is where we spend a lot of our time.
We spend a lot of our time there because, frankly, we used to watch a lot of like YouTube, essentially screensavers that would be like clown music and then like a bunch of red and blue and yellow triangles moving around. And like Henry would dig on those, but after a while it was literally torture. Like it was,
well, it
was.
It felt like we were hypnotizing our baby.
It felt
bit.
Weird. Yeah, it felt like some Manchurian Candidate shit was definitely going down.
With the
in those
ages
videos.
2 to 4, he'll usually watch a few minutes and then he'll go back to chewing on something. Mm. But we get to benefit
with some from exceptions.
Plot.
With some exceptions, there are some shows that this kid That's will true. Just fucking lock onto.
Yeah,
I just have them here in no particular order. I thought it might be fun if we just, like, burn through them. If we hit one that, like, merits further discussion, we go into it. But maybe we give, like, a quick thumbs up, thumbs down review of these kids' television shows. And if you don't have a kid and you're listening to this one, I hope you find something interesting to listen to. Some of these shits, like, story bots, like, I'll fuck with now. Like, Henry's taking a nap and Netflix is on pause on story bots. And I'm like, well, I mean, let's listen to the next one. Click. Let's go.
Yeah.
Some of them are bad, though. And so let's get cracking. I don't know which one to start with.
Well, we know that there are some that we have a lot to say about. So I don't know if you want to stagger those.
Yeah, let's stagger those a little bit.
Okay.
Let's start with Doozers. Because when we got into Doozers...
Oh, I have strong feelings.
Rachel had very powerful feelings. And maybe this is a good framing device for this like conversation, because you're a huge Fraggle Rock fan.
Yes, sir.
And Doozers are... Doozers from Fraggle Rock. Y'all don't need me to explain what Doozers are, right? Okay.
Yeah. So Doozers, the Fraggle Rock ecosystem says a lot about...
A lot of scientific discussion about kids.
It says a lot about society as a whole. Mm. And so there's the Gorgs. This actually might align with trolls now that I think about it.
Oh.
But there's the Gorgs who are kind of like the humans in the equation. They think that they... exist at the center of the universe. And then there's Fraggles that like to play. Their big thing is playing and cooperating.
Right.
And then Doozers work.
Doozers do.
They build constructions only to have the Fraggles knock them down, and then they're all too excited to build them again.
It's kind of a fucked up sort of Sisyphean existence that the Doozers have.
But so all of that to say, when I saw the Doozers animated...
Not puppets.
And program.
3D animation, sort of VeggieTales stuff.
I was concerned because the Doozers only exist within the ecosystem. They don't function independently. It was hard. It was hard for me. It'd be like doing a show about one half of photosynthesis.
Yeah, sure.
It's like, well, but you need the whole thing for the story.
I can't believe that was your example, is one half of photosynthesis. It's like doing a show about The Simpsons, but like The Simpsons aren't in it. And it's like, don't you want to know about the Flanders? I guess that's kind of what the Cleveland show
did. The Cleveland show, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't have any particularly strong feelings about Deucers. I've never gotten too deep into them. Yeah. But what I wanted to talk about is, you're a big Fraggle Rock fan. What were, because I honestly wanted to talk about this during this episode, and I had a hard time thinking about, like, when I was young, I don't remember, like, the shit I was into TV-wise, because, I think a lot of that, I know I was deep into, like, the whole, if it was on Nickelodeon, like, yes, I was on it, like Ren and Stimpy, and...
But that wasn't when you were real little.
That's it, right. So, like, those are the shows I remember, like, Batman the Animated Series and Pokemon I watched probably every fucking episode of. But when I was a baby, I can't remember too much, except for, like, I watched some Sesame Street. I remember The Simpsons. I remember watching The Simpsons when I just... And I remember Allegra's Window. Allegra's Window is the one that, like, really sticks out to me. But
well, I get that confused with Eureka's Castle.
Maybe that is... I'm thinking of both. I watched both. Okay, yes. Eureka's Castle and Allegra's Window. I think the reason for that is because I had two older brothers. And so, like...
And Jefferson's Portcullis.
I think it's because I had two older brothers, and so they were just fucking watching, you know, Ren and Stimpy, and I was a baby, and I guess this is cool.
Honestly, a lot of the reason that you and I are able to relate on a lot of programming
is because
you had older brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a big Fraggle Rock fan. My parents didn't have cable, but my grandparents did, and they used to make us VHS tapes and mail them to us of shows like Fraggle Rock, so I could watch them. It's pretty great.
You know who I fucked around with? David the Gnome.
Oh, God, that show was so boring.
Oh, it sucked so bad, but I was there for him.
Boring.
And all things David the Gnome.
I gave that show so many chances. I feel like every time it came on, the theme song was kind of fun.
Yeah.
So I used to like sit down and be like, I'm going to watch it this time.
Yeah.
Oh, dull.
And what's up with the, as long as we're talking about dudes living in trees, what's up, gummy bears? Gummy bears, I'm here for you too.
That was another good theme song.
Best theme song basically ever.
Yeah.
Dashing and daring, courageous and caring. I that was even a verse. Like, I could do the chorus, but anybody could do the chorus.
Anybody could, yeah.
Anyway, let's get back into talking about the shows that we watch. I tried to make Henry watch Pokemon. He's just not there yet. He's just not ready for it. He's not ready for some of these concepts. Because I watch it and I say, I see Here Comes the Squirtle Squad. And I'm like, he's going to catch himself one of those Squirtles. And then my mind starts racing with, like, now he's going to have a water-type Pokemon. That's going to help him beat rock-type Pokemon. It's going to help him take down Brock's gym. But Henry's just not there yet. When that's challenging for me, like, I'm struggling to get through that, obviously. I'm crying as hard as I possibly can right now. It's not coming through the podcast. But I'm crying really hard. Let's talk about Grandpa Joe's Magical Playground.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so the Griffin is very critical of me.
Yeah, for good fucking reason, because we are talking about a show called Grandpa Joe's Magical Playground to our huge audience, and that's because of you.
Okay, so I recognize that the TV is basically background, you know, that I can engage Henry in a number of activities, and occasionally he'll look up, and I'll look up, and we'll enjoy a moment together. And I just saw this as another program with bright colors, and so I just put it on, and Griffin walked in, and he said, what are you doing?
And I was furious. I was furious.
Do you have any information on this? Because I don't know that I can describe it.
I'm going to see if there's a Wikipedia article, but I honestly think that it doesn't deserve one.
It's kind of a scary-looking old man.
It falls into this, like, I wanted to get into this earlier, but it falls into this, like, this genre of just like bad Veggie Tales sort of. I don't know if you ever watched any Veggie Tales ever. It was a 3D animation, like,
I'm familiar with
reboot style 3D animation, but with a biblical flavor.
Wasn't for me as a child.
It's okay. There's just nothing. Here's an IMDb page. Let's read this description. Grandpa Joe uses his magical building blocks to create wonderful and surprising animals and toys with the help of Joy, Dylan, and his loyal dog Pepper. It's everyone's made out of toy blocks, and that's upsetting. And they're
Grandpa Joe himself is kind of upsetting.
Grandpa Joe is kind of a ghoul, because Grandpa Joe is not made of toy blocks, and so the image that is immediately implanted in my mind is that Grandpa Joe has is he the last human on Earth? I go to that place a lot with these kids shows because there's not a lot of characters. And so my mind immediately races to this is post-apocalypse. Grandpa Joe's the only man left alive after the singularity.
And he's inviting a bunch of people into his workshop.
Like he watched the rest of humanity like melt into like plasmic ooze and form back into the life stream in the Earth. And he's the only one left. And so he builds himself some kid friends and a dog out of toys who then help him continue his dark work building. I saw a dinosaur episode today. I watched this today. I'm coming off fresh off one of Grandpa Joe's psychic wounds.
Yeah, see, and that had nothing to do with me, so you only have yourself to blame in that case.
I didn't choose it. It was fucking on when I walked in the room. I would never choose Grandpa Joe's magical playground.
Oh, that's another thing to mention. So a lot of these shows on Hulu only have like two or three episodes, and the episodes are only like 18 minutes long. So you'll just kind of leave the TV on, and you'll look up, and suddenly you're watching a completely different show.
Yeah, so...
Like Grandpa Joe.
Like Grandpa Joe, who has stuck with us somehow... enough for me to like know about his dark deeds. Two thumbs emphatically down. I would not recommend. No. One show that we kind of discovered in this way is Pororo, not to be confused with Pocoyo, because baby's television shows are awesome. Pocoyo is about like, again, kind of another sort of blocky boy and his fun friends. I think it's British, maybe. I'm probably wrong about the origins of like all of these shows. And it's kind of funny. It's kind of cute. It's like a little boy and like he moves kind of like a toy and he rolls around. I don't have a lot to say about Pocoyo. Pororo though, it's an Arctic adventure.
It's a penguin, right? A
little penguin. He's got like a bear friend, crocodile friend, sea otter friend. And they go on sort
all
of
wintery.
It's very, it has an Arctic sort of setting and they teach each other moral lessons.
Got another good theme song.
It's got a pretty decent, like it's a lot. The theme song is just a lot of Pororos. And I mentioned this show only because Henry is obsessed with it.
He's into it.
He's very into it. And I don't, to me, it's like, I can't think of too many things to say about Pororo because I put it on and like, it's kind of like Razzle Dazzle, like the pattern that they use as sort of camouflage, because when you're looking directly at it, like your mind can't like hone into it, and so you just like look somewhere else.
When is this used?
Like military reasons. And so I can't think of anything because it comes on, and again, maybe this is some Manchurian candidate shit, but I can't focus.
There's no consistent, you know, most children's shows have kind of a consistent pattern each episode that the kids can kind of depend on and come to expect.
Not Pororo. He defies those expectations.
Yeah, it's kind of Curious George-like in that each episode is completely different.
And with that, perfect segue.
Curious George.
We gotta talk about CG. Never do know what's around the bend. A big adventure or a brand new friend.
So Dr. John.
Like Curious George.
Dr. John does the theme song.
Everything.
And it's incredible.
You ever seen Dr. John in concert?
No.
I have twice. Thanks, Bonnaroo. He's playing a band called Dr. John's Dumpster Funk.
That's nice.
And they would play at like 13 in the morning at Bonnaroo when everyone was extra crunchy. We have watched the entire series, I guess the new series of Curious George, which is 9 seasons, I believe.
Do you want to talk about the origins of you and Curious George and Henry?
I don't remember what the origins were.
I mean, it was your 3 a.m. show.
I mean, I had lots of I have a whole segment that I want to do about 3 a.m. shows because I have exposed our child to some stuff. But we've watched this entire show twice back to back. And it was because it was the first television show that Henry ever like liked. It was the first one that wasn't just Shapes and Colors. And like, it was for when we took our first plane ride, like we brought Curious George episodes on the iPad to like help him in case he got like freaked out. Cause it was literally the most, Henry was like pretty fussy when he was younger.
Well, largely because of his food sensitivity.
Yeah. He has a cow's milk protein allergy, which, I think before I had a kid, if I had heard that phrase said out loud, I would have thought it was like bullshit, but trust us, it sucks so, so bad.
No, I would feed him. He was hungry all the time because he was a newborn, and I would feed him, and within 15 minutes of eating, he would start crying.
And then he wouldn't sleep. Like he didn't
sleep.
There was
some puking. There was some burping.
It was very bad.
And we used to just put stuff on TV because sometimes it would distract him.
Yeah, he would sleep in basically 45-minute increments. Yeah. And it was really, really very tough on you,
and this
especially,
was,
and me a little bit.
This was about 4 months of his life.
Yeah. And so for a while, we were trying to like grab onto any sort of foothold that we could get where like he would be, you know, happy and content, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And Curious George was the first television show that like I felt like was like got him there. And so I owe a huge debt of gratitude to Curious George. It's a fun show with a fucking great theme song. Every day. It's so good.
Can I tell you a little bit about what I know on these characters in Curious
George?
Yeah,
sure. Because I'm curious about how this, obviously this is a man in the big yellow hat.
Yeah, here's the thing. So there's a lot about Curious George that's kind of nebulous and you don't really think about it much because you're just following George from adventure to adventure.
And this is not the, because this was on when we were kids, right? Wasn't there an old show and this is like
maybe
new?
I didn't research that.
This is like, I think this started like mid 2000s.
So I looked up the characters. And it is not just us that is uncertain. The man in the yellow hat, the entry here says that...
God, I gotta close this fucking window with Grandpa Joe's magic. I hate being confronted by this specter of death.
Here's what it says in the Wikipedia entry. It is unclear what his occupation is.
Yeah.
But in Curious George and the Invisible Sound, he has been asked to survey animals around the country house. And in the fully automatic monkey fun hat, Dr. Wiseman.
That's the fucking best name of any TV show episode ever.
Dr. Wiseman has asked him to give a speech about the scientific method, which may imply that he has the same occupation he held in the 2006 film.
But he's always at the fucking museum, like doing
he's
stuff.
He's always at the museum. Here's another thing. So Professor Wiseman, who is his lady friend that works at the museum.
Is that a romantic connection or not?
Know.
Because they definitely go on at least one date during this series.
It says, a scientist friend of George and the man in the yellow hat. In different episodes, she is seen to be a rocket scientist and working at a local museum.
I thought she was like a paleontologist or something. Everybody's got a lot of hats. There's Steve. Here's what I know about the man in the big yellow hat. Which, by the way, when did the hat stop being big? Wasn't it a big yellow hat?
No, it was never a big hat.
I think I might... What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Big yellow joint? That might be it, the Arrested Development joke. He's got two houses. They got the house in the city.
The
they got the apartment
house.
In the city. And then they go out to the country for a bit and kick it with Steve and like make some boats or whatever the fuck. What I want to talk about Curious George, I enjoy the show. Mm-hmm. It is among my favorites of the shows that we have watched with our boy. I don't know that it imparts necessarily great lessons to the youths who watch it. Because in every episode, Curious George proves this remarkable ability to find the things that people who care about him cherish the most, and then he destroys those things as quickly as he possibly
can.
That's kind
of a theme, though, in children's programming is that, and maybe this is supposed to make children more comfortable about being so unaware of the appropriate way to act, but you'll watch a lot of kids' shows, and the main character is constantly doing terrible things, and then ideally learning from that.
Yes, that is definitely a staple of like even up to like young adult programming. It's like, oh, we fucked up, let's find a way to make it right. I get that. Curious George, which by the way, can he talk to kids? Can kids understand him? There's an episode where they played mini golf with some kids and they were like talking to Curious George and it's like, he's a monkey.
Well, remember the country kid? What's his name?
Steve.
Steve, yeah. Steve seems to be able to communicate.
Steve will just converse with him. Okay, anyway, there's an episode where he goes into a construction site where, like, a 10-story building is being built, and he destroys it. He destroys the building. He destroys the 10-story building at the construction site. Like, he's a... Like, that's crazy. That's so bad. And then... They were like, oh, well, we like it better destroyed. Here's $10 to go buy some ice cream. Literally how the episode ends. Literally how the episode ends. Here's $10 to go buy some ice cream. Thank you for destroying our building. We like how it looks better now that it's destroyed. Here's $10.
Well, and the man with the yellow hat just seems so tired all the time because he is constantly forgiving George for everything.
This is my very favorite clock. My grandpa gave it to me. Well, I'm going to go to the store. Man in the big yellow hat, that one's on you, dude. That one's on you. Had to know how that one was going to end with you coming home and your clock is dismantled into 400 pieces hidden across six rooms.
Yeah.
You fucking dummy. I'm going to give you my credit card. Go buy us a dozen donuts. Hey, man in the big yellow hat, you remember how you just taught him about the tens and hundreds place? This motherfucker's going to come back with 10,000 donuts. And that's on you because you gave a monkey your credit card. I remember every fucking episode. And then every third episode is like, we're going to space and we need a monkey captain for the mission. And then like Curious George is flying through space or piloting a submarine under the ground or having an extended time traveling dream sequence. And it's like, why do we need soft sci-fi in the show?
Oh, and then the musical interludes.
There's musical interludes that pop up.
Occasionally, there are episodes where there is a song that is written about George's adventures, and it is not Dr. John, and it's surprising.
It's a review every time. It's a showcase of talent, and I'm so grateful. Thank you, Curious George. Thank you, CG. You wonderful monkey. Please just stop breaking like all my shit all the time. What else we got on here? Little Einsteins. I don't know what else to say.
This was a Justin and Sydney tipped us off for this because Charlie's a fan. And Henry definitely enjoyed it. There's a lot of classical music, references to painters and dancers.
Yeah, I enjoy sort of like, I don't know anything about classical music. And so it's nice to hear like a Chopin piece. And I'm like, this is nice.
I really appreciated it.
It felt like such a... who's the kid on Simpsons?
Martin.
Martin. It was such a fucking Martin, like team. It literally should be called Team Discovery Channel. And I appreciated it. And I'm not saying I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being like a nerd and watching a show called Little Einsteins, but it felt a little, especially because it was like targeted for babies. And it was like hearing a kid say like glissando and it's like stop. Come on,
you know what got on my nerves? So there's a rocket ship that they power to go on adventures,
on our favorite rocket ship,
and in order to power the rocket ship they all have to pat their legs. And it just but
sometimes they pat in mezzo forte and it's like you kids,
it just became insufferable because it would be like pat 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 pat, Sydney's patting, pat pat, Tommy's patting.
Not
Pat,
the kids' names.
Pat. How dare you? But I found that part used to
a lot
eat
of shows with
away.
Participation, like basically all of them,
which Henry can't do
because he can't move. He is basically a little beanbag chair.
He can move. He's like a beanbag chair that wiggles.
He's a wiggly beanbag chair. Speaking of music, we can talk about Beat Bugs. You would have forgotten. This is what's crazy. We've been doing this. We've been parents for 8 months now.
Yes.
And the sheer tonnage of children's programming we've watched is as such that we have completely forgotten shows that we have watched literally every episode of year.
The problem is that we started really early. At a certain point, Griffin and I convinced ourselves that we couldn't watch stuff that we normally watch with Henry.
Which is dumb. Like, Henry's not paying attention.
Which was dumb. And so we started watching kids programming because it seemed to interest him from a very young age. And so we've been doing this for so long now that we've blown through most of the shows that we might actually enjoy with him in a couple of years.
Right. We'll come back to it. I'll rewatch Beat Bugs. I think he enjoyed Beat Bugs. It's very colorful. It is sort of, it is one of the better animated shows. It's very like Pixar styled. And, I guess like the big hook of it is they secured the rights for music by the Beatles. And so every episode is titled the same thing as a Beatles song. And then you hear like a cover of a Beatles song that like these kids or like some special guessing. And sometimes they get like legit singers to come on and do these covers.
Bugs. Let's be clear. There are no kids on the show.
Well, the bugs are kids. They're young bugs, which brings up like I have so many questions about this already, which is like, can bugs hear music? Cause if so, that's fucked up. Like what if I accidentally goosh one? And they were like, when I goosh a little ant and they had a favorite song, that's fucked up.
I never thought about that.
You think about that and it's like,
we should start paying attention when you listen to music, whether the bugs come out.
We get wasp nests up in our roof a lot that I have to like spray with a murder spray. When I do that, am I killing a little wasp who's like, my favorite song is Linger by the Cranberries? I don't like that. I don't like thinking about that.
You know I'm such a fool for you.
Dead. Gone. Forever. I don't like that. What if they're singing a song in there? We just can't. I don't like it. I don't like it. There's sort of like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids thing going on where like they're in this big backyard and so there's like a bike will roll through. Actually, maybe half the episodes start out with them almost being killed by like a tire rolling through or a big rock. A big smartphone falls and like crushes one of the kids and they're like, oh no, well, we're bugs. What do you want? What I want to talk about this show is the way that they sometimes back into song titles. This is on Netflix, by the way. It's like a Netflix original. And I think they thought, like, okay, we got the whole Beatles catalog. We don't want to burn all the fucking hits from Word One. Like, All You Need Is Love is title track. And so that one's gone. That one's out of the way. We can't do, you know, 8 days a week and... oh my God, I've just suddenly forgotten every Beatles song ever written. You know, Paperback. You see, the ones I like aren't like the big popular ones. I can't think. God, I just sound like the biggest hipster piece of shit ever.
But we should give an example. So I remember an episode where they did For the Benefit of Mr. Kite.
Okay, yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. So Come Together, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Like these are big songs, right? And they don't want to burn through everything that was on like the Beatles One collection or whatever. And so you get an episode called For the Benefit of Mr. Kite. And my mind is working as I see that title pop up on the screen because, like, Come Together. You can imagine what an episode about that is. Like everybody falls, somebody falls down a hole and they have to, like, chain together to help pull them up while singing Come Together. Cool. It is always plot relevant. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, there's an episode where, like, one of the bugs is having trouble sleeping because they have nightmares. And so they go see, like, this magic grasshopper who is Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Okay, cool. For the Benefit of Mr. Kite?
I did a lot of work on that one. I imagine when they're writing these episodes, somebody comes in, just complete silence, and in like a dry erase marker writes, For the Benefit of Mr. Kite, and then sits down at a conference table and just says, go. And they all have to figure out how they can work elements of that song into the story.
There's an episode called Penny Lane, which... I guess they just build an auditorium and call it Penny Lane. That one's not especially, Magical Mystery Tour is like, When I'm 64 is an episode. And it's like, how do you children bugs get to that? It's, and then it's a mystery. And then the music's pretty good and it's colorful and nice. I like beat bugs.
I completely forgot it existed until Griffin reminded me.
Heartbreaking.
Today.
Apparently there's two seasons. We gotta get back in there. Hey, you know, my favorite show.
What is it?
I was going to say Home Improvement, but it's not true. But I was trying to think of like a way to get into the money zone. Could you do me like a Beatles intro, like a Beatles stinger into the Can I Steal You Away ad break?
Sure. Yesterday. Okay, sorry about that.
Jeez, don't be sorry. That was the best fucking thing.
Our sponsor this week is Honest Tea.
Honest Tea. Excellent.
Rose Buddies is supported in part by Honest Tea for almost 20 years. Honest Tea, the makers
I thought you were saying we've been supported for 20 years. It's the longest running podcast in history.
Okay, for almost 20 years, Honest Tea, the makers of the nation's top-selling organic bottled teas and organic kids' juice drinks, has committed to being authentic and transparent through its organic and fair trade certified products. I've had Honest Tea before, have you?
I have, yeah, it's really good.
I'm a tea fan. We are joining Honest Tea in celebrating the ways we're less than perfect through the Refreshingly Honest Project.
Oh, shit, what are we airing out this time?
Our refreshingly honest moment is...
You made our kid watch Grandpa Joe's Magical Playground.
Our refreshingly honest moment is that sometimes our favorite TV shows to put on at night are the ones that allow us to do something else besides paying attention to the TV. So my example of this, and this is still a good show, but often we will put on American Ninja Warrior.
You're pretending like we don't pay attention. I watch that show.
I like to... look at my Facebook.
Okay, fair.
And watch American.
There's some shows we don't like. During Terrace House, it is lock on. If do not like talk, do not look at your phone, we are in it. American Ninja Warrior, for some reason, Rachel and I have this unspoken pact that we are just going to watch every episode of this entire season, which is bananas to me.
Yeah.
But I'm getting to the point where I know all of them by name, and that's fucked up, and I know it is.
You can share the fun and funny ways you're less than perfect on social media and use the hashtag refreshingly honest. And for every time the hashtag refreshingly honest is shared, Honest Tea will donate $1 to Vision Spring, up to $25,000, which helps provide affordable vision care for people in need. Learn more by visiting honesttea.com/podcast. Honest Tea, refreshingly honest.
I got a Jumbotron message. This one is for Amelia, and it's from Louie, who says, "Happy anniversary, Amelia, my love. Right now, you are on the PCT and kicking its ass." PCT.
Pacific Coast Trail.
Is that it?
I think so.
Yeah, that makes sense. But soon we'll finally live together, and life will be so, so sweet. Please accept this audio rose from your favorite podcast host. And if Griffin and Rachel ever saw you, I know they would agree. Your freckles are just the dang cutest. Smooch. I don't know that I would say that to a person I don't know. But I'm, you know, we might think it. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I'm a freckle fan.
Good luck out there, by the way, on that long, hard road. You're doing something that I think is actually impossible and nobody's ever done. And it's really just a big, when people say like, oh, I've walked up the country, I just think like, oh, it's a fun joke you're playing on me. But I'm sure you can do it and be the first person ever. Congratulations. Keep pushing. Don't worry about the calluses. Suck the venom out. Let's go. Let's do it.
Way to go, Amelia. This next message is for red double exclamation mark emoji. And it is from Sweet Young Coconut. happy birth. See?
You got it.
It says hap birth to my bud.
Yeah, that's good. No, that's like that's cool. No, that's a cool way to say it. It's not a typo.
It's not a character limit.
No way.
Okay. Hap birth to my bud, my dude, my best friend, who is hopefully almost or recently 20 as you hear this.
We're all almost or recently 20 if you think about it.
Some of us less recent than others. I miss you, but hopefully by the time you hear this, we're hanging out and BIP is happening. You'll watch an actual episode of this franchise yet. But yeah, love you, dude. Here's to road trips and the impossible dream of small to mid-sized animals.
Oh, I get it. They're tough. They're tough to get a beat on. Small to mid-sized. I need a large one. I need a large one just so I can keep track of them. Give me a horse.
Are you talking about our 20-pound cat?
I'm talking about our big nightmare cat who hates the concept of sleep. He hates the concept of human sleep. We can do a whole episode about how shitty our cat is. He's a sweet prince from heaven.
I don't want to push our listeners that far.
That's true. This episode is already a little much.
Creativity, comedy, and friendship. All these things and more are waiting for you at Max FunCon East, at the maybe haunted Pocono Manor, September 1st through 3rd. We only have a few tickets left, and they're on sale right now, so head on over to maxfuncon.com to buy your tickets. Don't miss out.
Can I talk about some, you mentioned earlier the 3 a.m. block that I used to occupy with our boy. And this was for about 3 months, where he would... he was waking up like a lot, and you would just like feed him, and then you'd both go back to bed.
Well, no, that's oversimplifying.
I'm grossly oversimplifying.
The reason that Griffin would take the 3 a.m. block is that Henry woke up every hour and a half to 2 hours, and what would happen is he would eat, and then I would have to hold him perfectly still until he fell asleep again. And sometimes if this continued for a long time, I would start to fall asleep while I was holding it.
And that's a bad situation.
And so that's when Griffin would step in.
So I would step in and abscond into the living room for usually about an hour and a half or so, usually maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours. So you could get some sleep and I could get Henry to sleep. And then I would just kind of like chill out there for a while. And while I did that, I watched some fucking television. I also got deeply into chess because it was like a game I could play on my phone with one hand. And I think about how like I played chess like hours a day every day. and I have not played it in like 5 months. I got so into it, but I got in that time, in that witching hour, I got so into a lot of things that I don't really fuck around with anymore. So like, I watched most of Twin Peaks, which is maybe too challenging a show for baby minds.
Yes, I would say so.
But he was deeply asleep in the times that I was watching it. I watched The OC, like, in that one I felt comfortable, like, we would go out there and he would still be awake after I brought him out there, and I'd be like, these are your friends, Ryan and Seth and Summer and Marissa and Taylor Townsend, and that's Sandy Cohen, and here's why he's important to me. And I don't know that those lessons were necessarily getting through. One of the first shows I watched with him, just because I had started, I watched the first episode the day before he was born, was Yuri on Ice, which is an ice skating anime that I was hoping maybe, I don't know, like, there's a lot of very good animation and colorful anime, handsome boys sort of skating around. Thought maybe that would grab his attention, but no, I think maybe it was a little too soon for that as well. I treasured those times, although I realized that this is not exactly kids programming, and maybe we should get right back down into the...
Yeah, a lot of times Griffin would watch these shows, and he would hold Henry until Henry was deep asleep, and then he would come back into the bedroom and set Henry down, and Henry would immediately wake up.
Because I would keep him out there for too long.
But in the meantime, I had gotten some
right
sleep.
And sometimes he would fall asleep, and I'd be like, well, I'm going to watch a couple more episodes of Yuri, and just come back in. But it was weird because you and I have very few shows that the other person doesn't watch.
It's true.
All the shows that we watch, really, like, you watch Scandal and Jane the Virgin, and like, I don't really watch those. Sometimes we start a show and I think it's going to be one that we're both going to get down on, and then I go on a trip and I get back and you're like, hey, I finished Orange is the New Black, and I'm like, well, okay, I'm probably not going to watch that then. And this was the first time that, like, I felt like I had like a ton of shit that I would like, oh, there's this show, Yuri on Ice, it's great.
If you wanted to keep waking up at 3 a.m. and watching your shows, I'm sure you could do that.
Oh, I watched so much anime, which was weird because I really didn't watch it growing up, except for, I guess, Pokemon counts. But I got a Crunchyroll subscription specifically to watch Yuri on Ice, and then it's just, I watched so much in these blocks. And since he stopped waking up at this time, it was like, I formed this weird sort of like symbiotic thing in my mind where it's like 3 a.m. is where I get on and I watch like anime, which I don't like. I just don't do it any other point in the day. And
I love that you're nostalgic for this now.
I am. I'm a little nostalgic because it was like a I did a lot of things from 3 to 4:30 a.m. that I don't do anymore because they were my 3 to 4:30 a.m. things. And I know that sounds weird, but like that comes with the territory of having like a fucking fourth meal added on to your day.
I am nostalgic for the times where we watched all of The Office.
We watched, oh my God, we watched all of The Office in a month and a half. It was wild how much of that show we watched so quickly.
Oh God, it was nice though. It was comforting.
That show is fucking comfort food.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some kids programming.
Can we talk about the show I've been dying to talk about this entire episode?
Let's talk about the show that you've been dying to talk about this entire episode, because it's important. It's an important work. It belongs in the
international.
It's an international sort of hit.
There is a UK version and a US version voiced by different...
Oh, I don't like that. No, 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 no. I cannot imagine different voices coming out of these beautiful, perfect four mouths.
This show, available on Hulu, is called Ruff Ruff, Tweet, and Dave. It is about a trio of animals
with a sort of a guide, a sort of spiritual guide.
There's Hattie the hamster that leads them through a series of puzzles
of saw-like flesh games.
Ruff Ruff, as you might expect, is a dog. Tweet, as you might expect, is a bird.
A little fucking little nerdy birdie.
And then there's Dave.
Dave's a blue panda.
Dave is a panda bear.
But he's blue. He's absolutely blue.
And this started my fiction. And I think in a lot of ways was the impetus for this very episode of the podcast.
This episode, we got excited about talking about Ruff Ruff, Tweet, and Dave, mostly because of the number of times it would require us to say the words Ruff Ruff, Tweet, and Dave. It's a good fucking name for a TV show. And if you think... If you're assuming that it's going to be some sort of like cheeky, like kids love it, but it's great for adults too. Like it's sort of like edgy humor. I feel like the name Ruff Ruff Tweet and Dave has a sort of like Invader Zim sensibility to it, where you hear it and you think like, oh, this is going to be full of like little jokes and jabs for mature audience. No, it's a puzzle show for children.
Yes, but here's the thing. Here's what I love. Okay, so Dave. Dave is a blue panda, and I guess it would be typical to name a panda following the convention of Ruff Ruff and Tweet, because it would be like, we don't. Yup. Yeah, what do you call a panda? Pandas don't make.
We met some pandas a couple of years ago.
We did.
They were great.
So I developed this fiction in which the creator of the show had a brother named Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave was particularly interested in being represented on the show. And so I just imagine a lot of conversations where the creator was saying, I'm going to do this kid's show. There's going to be a dog and a bird and a panda. At which point his brother was like, hey, name one of them Dave. And the creator thought, well, but it doesn't really make sense because there's going to be Ruff Ruff and Tweet. It's like, name that panda Dave. And then the creator would say, well, I don't know why. And make sure that Dave always goes to sleep first because I'm a tired guy and Dave should be tired too.
Dave's very tired and he loves bananas.
And so the panda bear, if you'll notice at the end of every episode, goes to sleep first.
Yeah, so you're getting way, way, way ahead of... You got to understand, babe, you are talking as somebody who has consumed lots and lots of Ruff Ruff Tweet and Dave. We are talking to an uninoculated audience. And so we need to be delicate about this because what you just said is the most wild thing out of context that anybody's ever heard. It's a show where like every episode is like, it's educational, right? It's like a lot of these shows, it is sort of education. Hattie will present puzzles. And each episode is sort of like themed. So it's like, today we're going to learn about opposites, right? The idea of what opposites are. And so you go, or like, we'll do directions. Today's all about directions. And so they have to like follow this path. And it's like, oh, here's a log. Let's go under it. And then later on, you come back to the log and Hattie the hamster is like, do you remember which way to go for the log? And then each of the animals will present a different answer. And so Ruff Ruff will say like, you go through it. And then Tweet will say like, you go under it. And Dave is like, you eat it. Because he's a fucking dummy. And then Hattie the hamster is like, Tweet's right. The rest of you were incorrect. And you know what that means. There's a key in your stomach that you have to vomit up to the shackles of bone around. And so at the end, this continues on. Like, there's five or six of these little junctions where it's like, who's the three of them say some shit? And it's like, what color's an apple? And Ruff Ruff is like, you know, black. And Tweet's like green or red or sometimes yellow. And Dave is like purple because he's so fucking dumb.
I read a review of the show where somebody was very critical of the fact that Dave is always made to be the fat slow one.
Well, there's some episodes though, we just watched one, and this is the strength of this sort of design, is that we watch this show a lot, and I don't know why. Maybe it is this like participation element. I cannot look away from Ruff Ruff Tweet and Dave. I am Terrace House honed in on this fucking show.
You know,
and so there are episodes where I watch and I follow the patterns, like the opposite day episode, where like the other two are fucking up nonstop, and Dave's like, "Nah, I got this," and he gets like three in a row, and I'm like, Babe,
can I tell
Dave's
you
on
something?
A streak. Dave's
can I
crushing
tell you something?
It.
When I was reading the details about Ruff Ruff, Tweet, and Dave, Dave is the only character to ever get a hat trick.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yeah. Typically, there are three puzzles every episode, and usually it's spread relatively evenly between the three characters.
All right. Maybe I'm being too hard on Dave. Dave is wrong a lot, but when he's fucking hot, he's hot.
I really think that somewhere out there, there is a real Dave on which this panda is based.
I think somewhere out there is a large betting pool of people who wait for new episodes of Ruff Ruff. I'm not joking. People who watch this and they're like, all right, I think Tweet gets two, Ruff Ruff gets one. And of course, Dave goes to sleep first. we got to talk about the Dave goes to sleep first thing, because at the end of every episode, they get on the spin again, which is the magic ship.
And they get fly in their around pods.
And they go in their pods, which, by the way, let's talk about that, because that's wild. And then Howie the Hamster shows you a little pop-up, little image of all three of them in their pods, and he says, who's going to go to sleep first? And Dave inevitably goes to sleep first, and Howie the Hamster says, it's Dave. It's always Dave.
Is now where I should have done my Dave impression.
Probably this would be the time to talk about that. You tried to get to the end part first, which is a wild way of talking about this show.
I was just so eager because it makes total sense to me that somewhere out there is a guy that calls his brother once a week and says, this next episode, make Dave so that he runs real fast. Because I like to run real fast.
Can you make him jump real high? Give him big balls? No, Dave, I can't do that. Man, rough tweeting Dave. I can't believe we're talking about it on this fucking podcast. When we first watched it, I didn't think we'd ever talk about it on this podcast.
Henry seems to really like
it. He seems to enjoy it a lot. And I don't think I like it. I don't think it's a very good show. But because it is participatory, I feel like this show is meeting me halfway in a way where it's like, hey, we don't want to be here either. But do you want to exclaim out loud that you, Griffin, also know what color an apple is?
Yeah, Griffin does play along.
I do. I get excited when my friends do well. Not tweet, because I feel like tweet is batting 60% tweet is right. And Ruff Ruff gets some in sometimes, but Ruff Ruff is sort of the moral center of the show. And so it's not a huge... When Dave comes at you with three in a row, it's like, that's some blue panda shit. You are on, my friend. Good work. Now, I do want to talk about... As far as I know, we've watched hundreds of episodes of Ruff Ruff Tweet and Dave. Why are there only four animals left on this whole earth? It's sort of like a Sonic the Hedgehog Green Hill Zone sort of vibe to this world. And they do sleep in little, coffins. Hattie the Hamster doesn't have a coffin. Where does he sleep? Does he sleep on the magic spaceship? Why is he putting them through these challenges? And where is fucking everybody?
I think he sleeps on the spin again.
I think he's probably sleeping on the spin again. And that's sad. The kids have little robot cars that they drive around in that plugs into the spin again. And it's like, that's a little bit confusing. Are they sort of animatronic living dolls and the rest of humanity sort of died out? Is this in the same universe as Grandpa Joe's Magical Playground where there's only one man left and the three animatronic dolls are looking for him?
I mean, if we're going to talk children's programming, we should talk Teletubbies, because that is the same kind of post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
There are only this many creatures left in the world.
Shit.
And they're all super weird and have televisions in their
stomachs. How does the baby sun sort of fit into...
You know, there's no explaining it.
It was a solar flare that, burned out... It was an EMP, burned out all the electronics. Mankind destroyed itself.
You name all the Teletubbies.
No. Popo, Tinky Winky... That's two. Is that good?
Dipsy.
How do you know this? What the fuck?
Lala.
Why do you know this? What the fuck?
When I was early high school, I had a friend who was like, you got to watch this show. It's super weird.
Okay.
So that's, also if you sing the theme song in your head, they introduce themselves, much like Ruff Ruff Tweet and Dave.
Thank you, Ruff Ruff. Oh, Ruff Ruff Tweet and Dave. We should, I don't know if this is fair use. Can I play a little bit of the theme song of Ruff Ruff Tweet and Dave? I'll actually edit it in so it doesn't sound shitty.
Okay.
But the theme song has a section in the middle that is the most sort of wild lyrical gymnastics I've ever heard, where it's like, for a second in the middle of the song, it's as if the composer and writer of the song were like, let's just stop rhyming for a little bit. And it's a very bold strategy.
Are you talking about the hip hop breakdown?
No.
No, I'm just teasing. There's no hip hop breakdown. The spin again will take us on another great adventure.
Say their names. What a great game! So play along at home. Maybe we should wrap. Can we talk about missed dodged bullets? Because you mentioned Teletubbies, and I thought about there are some shows that when I was in high school and college that I knew kids were watching. I was like, wow, that seems shitty. And now that we have a kid who I'm sure will grow up and watch some really bad television show that will in some large way become our lives, that there are some things that I want to talk about the fucking Wiggles, because we watched two episodes of it. And I was like, I cannot with you all.
It's weird.
I absolutely can't with you all.
It's weird. Well, this is true with a lot of children's performers. There's something kind of robotic and also they have been captured against their will and forced like, yes. to perform these numbers.
It's two of them are just sort of our older gentlemen who are just bouncing around and playing a little silly guitar, and along with the other members of the band, just singing a little song about brushing your teeth. And it's never, I'm never not going to be sort of put off by that.
Yeah, we gave it a shot just to see what the fuss was about, and it was awful. Same goes for Caillou. We
did not fuck with Caillou, because from what I understand, Caillou is heroin. If you give a kid a bump of Caillou, like, the kid will never get off Caillou, and Caillou is apparently the biggest piece of shit on earth.
Yeah, we have heard under no circumstances should we ever watch Caillou, and so we have not.
Astro Blast is pretty good, though. And sorry, I'm looking at the list. Astro Blast is good. It's about an interstellar smoothie shop. Love that shit. Saren Duck is good. Hungry Henry. We mainly watched that because it has Henry in the title, but it's about a very curious cat who learns about where food comes from. What else do I have on here? The Notekins. Rachel likes them. I think it's the worst television show maybe in the history. It's literally just a bunch of notes, and they're like, here's a ladder, let's go up. And then it plays a scale, like, boop, 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 as they go up the ladder. And it's like, uh-oh, let's go down. Boop, 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 boop. And that's fucking it. That's all that the Notekins is. It is poison. Here's it is brain poison, and I am a worse person for watching Notekins.
Here's the thing. Henry likes music.
Yes.
I think that that is a worthwhile interest of his. And so anytime there is a show that incorporates music of any kind, I think to myself, he'll enjoy this, and it is beneficial.
That's not why you like the show, though. Tell people why you like the show. Because okay. I know the reason why you like the show.
There is usually a scene in every episode where each Notekin sounds their note. And in order to sound their note or musical instrument, they jump up and spread their legs. And so I convinced myself, just kind of a way to entertain myself, that every time they did that, they were passing gas. And so it was
what
like
a diplomatic way to phrase that, baby.
It was like a fun thing to think that this little piano sound that was coming out of them was actually the sound of them having gas. Just go check it out. It's fun.
I mentioned Storybots earlier. It's fucking great.
Storybots is just incredible.
There's only 6 episodes of Storybots on Netflix. There's Storybots Asks or Storybots Answers.
Ask Storybots.
And it's pretty good. But Storybots songs are like fucking dope. They're so good. Sunshine is Yellow is a song. Just Google Storybots Sunshine is Yellow and listen to it. It is a 2017 summer jam.
We tried
Big Block Sing Song. It's kind of similar.
Yeah, it's similar. There's also other shows we've tried that just Henry's too little, like Thomas.
Thomas, I mentioned Steven Universe. We watched a little of that when he was really, really young, but he just didn't engage with it at all. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. Oh, Baby First TV. That's more of a brand. The only one of those that like really I can remember is Harry the Bunny, because it's kind of Muppet-like. But we don't have to go into that. I do love the theme song.
My child.
Oh, God, that song.
Me and Baby First TV.
In times when I wasn't sleeping well and I was watching that with Henry, that song used to make me emotional.
My child. Let's wrap up, though. Hey, sorry about this episode. It probably wasn't what you wanted. Probably wasn't what you thought you were going to tune into when you loaded this up in your car or whatever for the road trip. You're going to love this podcast you told your friends. They say really catty stuff about The Bachelor and Bachelorette. And then we talked about Ruff Ruff Tweet and Dave for about 25 months. But we just, man, this such was the extent to which we did not want to talk about the mental all. Finale is next week, though. Looking forward to that.
3 hours.
Are you fucking kidding?
It's always 3 hours, Griffin.
It always hurts, though, to remember.
I know.
Yes, thank you for listening. Thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. You can go to MaximumFun.org. And check out all the great shows like One Bad Mother and Lady to Lady and
Pop Rocket
and Stop Podcasting Yourself and Jordan Jesse Go and Judge John Hodgman. All kinds of great shows all at MaximumFun.org. We have other shows that we do and video stuff that you can find at McElroyShows.com. Anything else?
Thank you to the listeners that have specifically said they could listen to us talk about anything. Here is us doing that.
Yeah. What now? Eat your fucking words. I think that's it. Finale next week, and then who knows after that. We'll keep you posted. We'll keep you posted. We got some fun ideas. Till next time. We have a P.O. Box also. It's P.O. Box 66639, Austin, Texas, 78766. Till next time. Thank you for listening. I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Rachel McElroy.
When you're ready. My child. Sing it, baby. Me and baby first TV. My child. Me and baby first TV. That was almost harmony. I love you.
Don't read it. My child. Me and baby first TV. My child. Me and baby first TV. Child, me and baby first TV.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
What the f*** is an interview? I mean, I do not know.
That was Oscar-winning filmmaker Errol Morris. I'm Jesse Thorne, host of NPR's Bullseye. Allow me to introduce The Turnaround, a new podcast series produced by MaximumFun.org and presented with the Columbia Journalism Review. Join me as I sit down with some of our greatest living interviewers to ask them about interviewing and why and how they do what they do. We'll go deep with some of the biggest names in media, people like Larry King, Katie Couric, Audie Cornish. We'll be among friends on The Turnaround. 2 episodes a week, all summer. Subscribe now and tell somebody.